doing my thing, and the kids were growing up, and I know there are moments in which she wondered where in the world and why she ever married me. I'm sure that crossed her mind more than once, but I'm glad that she stuck it out. And I can tell you this fairly, that without her, I wouldn't have run. Without her encouragement, I wouldn't have won. And I have to thank Dolores for all that's happened, and I want her to know that's exactly the case, and I love her very much.
Today are well aware of Dolores' years of dedicated service to the Federation and to the Republican Party. She served ably and willingly in many capacities as currently our state protocol chairman. We know Dolores, too, as an outstanding campaigner for Vic, a very real asset in the statewide elections and one of the big reasons for the great victory. We're looking forward to having Dolores and Vic take their places as the greatest governor and the greatest first lady this state ever had. Well, in order to learn how Dolores became so well prepared to assume the role of first lady, we'll have to go back a few years. And so Dolores Atiyah, this is your life. You were born in Portland Adventist Hospital to Bertha and Jim Hewitt, the third of three beautiful daughters.
Don't you have waited a few more hours? You're supposed to wait for my day.
Do you recognize that voice, Dolores? Oh, you see her. It's your sister, Louise. Come out, Louise. Louise, do you want to come up here?
Now, I know that many of you are wondering how Dolores learned to face the public. Well, there are many things I could say about her childhood, but I'm going to start with her last year in grammar school. At that time, she was in a play. Our mother went and watched her, and she thought, well, that child is as self-conscious as I am. And she came home and says, what am I going to do? So I knew of a teacher. At that time, we called it elocution. And this teacher was young enough that I thought Dolores would respond. Well, she didn't really want to respond on account of the lessons were always on Saturday and kids always have so much to do then. Well, anyway, there came a time when there was a party that Dolores wanted to go to. And she was still the reluctant dragon not going to class. But Mama said, you go in the other room, you learn this monologue, and if you don't learn it, you don't go to the party. I'll be in 1 hour. So 1 hour went by and Mama went in. There were gales of laughter, and then all of a sudden she came in with Dolores, and the first monologue that I ever remember Dolores saying was Sister's Bow, the story of a young man courting a girl, and the younger sister was always on hand. Wanted to hang around, and of course the young man would try to bribe her. Well, finally, Mother had all she could stand of this, and so she sent the child out to the peach tree to bring home a switch. And Dolores, do you remember the last words of the lines of this sister's bow? What's the matter with a peach tree? After that, Dolores was on Stars of Tomorrow. Her teacher asked her to appear in her place And from then on, Dolores was off to the races. That's the story of the beginning of Mrs. Victor Atiyah, my sweet sister. There is someone else, I believe, who had quite a hand in steering Dolores in the right direction. I wonder if she could be around here someplace. Is she here?
Dolores? Get out of bed and come on downstairs and learn how to do a laundry.
This is Thelma Bowman, Dolores' sister from San Diego, and Dolores didn't know she was coming.
And Dolores has always been my pride.
We need a picture of the three sisters. Well, that's Dolores' early years, and so time marched on, and Dolores went to Washington High School. Vic was planning to come in here somewhere along the line, but he did his earlier, as you all heard, and very beautifully, too. Dolores still has many close high school friends who have sent their regrets that they're all out of town today, but I have a tape I'm going to play from one, and I hope it's going to work. Here we go.
Dolores, dear, I am so sorry I'm unable to be at your special luncheon today, but as you know, I will be in Long Beach, so I'm making this tape. There are so many wonderful memories and experiences that we share in our 37-year friendship. It's so difficult to know where to begin. We had the fun of our youth together with our dates with Jim and Vic. We had the thrill of being newlyweds, the joys and sorrow of our firstborn, and the trailers that come with the raising of our delightful offspring. We've had many walks along the beautiful Oregon beaches, which we both mutually enjoy, and we didn't even have to talk. I could go on and on, but I know many instances that we could share and laugh about would not be as meaningful to your friends assembled here today. So all I'm going to say is I'm very proud to be your friend, Dolores. And Jim and I are so proud of all you and Vic have achieved together. I know the years ahead will bring the happiness you both deserve. Lots of love to you both. Donna.
A very special friend of Dolores' Donna Campbell. Well, as Vic told you, it was in high school that he first noticed Dolores. But then they both went on to attend the University of Oregon. Charlotte Clark.
Memories connected to going to college and being in a sorority. And when we were in school, there were no men, and we had, but we still had a good time and learned a lot of good things too. The thing that I remember the very first about meeting Dolores Atiyah, the very first time I met her, was in the Caliani shop at Littman's. And she worked there all through high school, and she helped me buy my very first ski outfit. And I think I was probably a sophomore, junior in high school. We were about the same age. The next thing I remember very, very clearly, Dolores was an outstanding sophomore girl at the University of Oregon and was a member of Quama. And I think that another thing we will all remember from living in that house was Sally the cook and her very strange corn fritters for lunch and food rationing books. And what a problem that was for everybody to deal with. Also, the white buck shoes and the pleated skirts and cashmere sweaters. And I believe that Dolores and I taught a few girls how to wash cashmere sweaters that didn't know anything about taking care of the clothes. Another highlight that we shared kind of badly was a mechanical drawing class in the art school, and this we took with engineering students that were there during the war years. And as I recall, we both took incomplete. Very bad, very bad. Another thing I remember is a ceramics class with one of Dolores' favorite people, Miss Abakian, a very talented lady. Dolores had the talent. I had no talent in this class at all. And some more little things, many fun rides up Highway 99E and my brother's little green Ford coupe. And Vic, I dropped Dolores off at her house in Eastmoreland, and Vic would usually be there to meet us. And a foggy trip that we made with other girls to Salem to help a brand new Alpha Chi chapter at Willamette University put on their first rush function. And we were kind of hanging out of all kinds of strange automobiles and very little gasoline. There are many, many other things, but I think Dolores, as well as myself, will remember a number of people that she started school with at Oregon. Mickey McCandless and the Paladini girls, and Charlene, somebody, the pretty girl from Southern California. We had lots of gorgeous girls from Southern California.
Like orphanage?
Yes, we really did. We really did. Lois McConkie, who was really quite a... Lois McConkie, who was a really fun girl. And I don't have anything else to say other than it's been my pleasure to be Dolores' friend all these years, and we've enjoyed each other through school and through the years up to this date, and I hope it will continue. Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. Well, after the college years, Dolores and Vic were married. And then 3 happy years later, they were blessed with a beautiful baby boy.
I was always getting in trouble with the homemade fire truck.
Tom Matias.
The best firecrackers that we ever blew up was when we had the house repainted and we destroyed the garden along with it. And guess whose mother just came around the block as it went up?
Thank you, Tom. There's one more member of the Tia family, their beautiful daughter Suzanne, who's in college in California now. Well, Suzanne and I attempted to make a tape by telephone, but somehow it just didn't quite work out. So she sends her love and says, have fun at the governor's conference in Georgia. Well, your life centered around your little family and activities geared to them. Friends and family were very important to you then and now. I have another tape. Thank you.
Friendship has always been more than a word to Dolores. Her heart and soul expand in loving concern for hundreds and hundreds of her friends, including all of you. My family and I feel blessed to be among them too. Since 1945, a long time ago, when I first met Dolores, she has been so special to us, easy to know, and so easy to love. Our good times have included so many areas. Time at their mountain house, a trip on a beautiful big boat up the Columbia, enjoying the friendships of our children, and the sharing of watching them grow into the fine young ones that they are. Some of my dearest memories are the times Dolores, Suzanne, and I would camp together at Cape Lookout when Susie was a little tiny girl. Believe me, if you want to go camping with one of the greatest, choose Dolores. She has real chutzpah, a really good wagtail. She even taught me, of course, on edible plants, roots, and berries. Other memories shared include the occasion when the Atheas were house guests, when we lived in Sherlock, and two-year-old Suzanne took leaves from our 25-year-old Jay plant. Her parents were horrified, but Paul and I thought it was hilarious. The plant probably needed pruning anyhow. And last Thanksgiving Day, when the flu bugs hit at our house, who sent over a gorgeous feast to Paul and me? Of course, our Dolores. Remember the days Dolores was campaigning when Vic first ran for the house? We sat at your kitchen table and addressed 20 postcards of campaign literature. Whoever would have thought those would lead to this glorious time in your life? What a short span of time it all seems is today we recall the past and ponder the days to come. Now you are about to travel a new, exciting, uncharted road. Our dear friends, all of us here today, send you off on that fabulous adventure with our undying admiration, devotion, and loyalty. You are our beautiful number one first lady.
Yes, he's sure. Obviously a very dear friend. And that's a lovely tape, Becky. Just lovely. Well, we're still in the family, talking about family times. Karen Atiyah. Sister-in-law, yes. Ed's wife. We gathered that first evening at the Atiyah's home, and then we went dancing at Jansen's with Dolores and Vic. We went to the Cootie Inn. Some 2 weeks later, after I had met Ed, I witnessed your wedding in the chapel at Trinity Church, not realizing, but having just a little inkling that I would one day become your sister-in-law. And it's been a most joyous and happy association ever since.
Thank you, Karen.
Mary Alice Atiyah, Richard's wife.
I met Dolores at the University of Oregon when I was a pledge in the Alpha Chi House, and I remember one day the upperclassmen said, "You have to get the house cleaned up because Dolores Atiyah is coming to inspect the house." So all of us were busy that day, and that was the first time that I was very much impressed with them, I never realized that a few months later that I would be engaged to her brother-in-law, a year later, married to him. It's been a pleasant experience being with Dolores and with Atias, and we had a lot of fun together, some difficult times, but mostly fun. Our children grew up together, Tom and George always playing games with us. One would come over and say, Annie Dolores said I could have lunch, and then I called Dolores and find out that she hadn't invited George for lunch, vice versa with Tom. So we had a lovely experience. It's been lovely being associated with Dolores. You've always been community-minded, involved in many projects, Dolores.
I first met Dolores Atia when she joined the Alpha Chi Alumni Camp.
Well, no, Margaret Downey. As I said, I met Dolores when she joined our Alpha Chi alum group. And through the years, Dolores and I have been involved in many projects together. In the late 40s, she followed me as president of the Alpha Chi group. One afternoon, I took the inevitable cardboard box of years of accumulation of records and memorabilia up to Dolores. And I took my two girls with me. They were enchanted by Dolores' beautiful little boy, Tom, with the huge brown eyes. Encouraged by the attention of these older girls, Tom began to get quite rowdy. And the more excited Tom became, the more the girls loved it. I can remember Tom jumping up and down on the sofa, the brown eyes changed to black and flashing. And he yelled, sweet patootie, sweet patootie. It was just about then that two mothers had to wade in and dampen the spirits a little bit. Then Dolores waded into our cardboard box of 25 years of accumulation, and we no longer had a box of junk. We had a file. In most organizations, there is nothing more useless than the past president. But this was not true of Dolores and the Alpha Chi's. She was the one they always called on when they needed special decorations for a luncheon, a banquet, or a ball, or when they needed someone to head up a committee for a big benefit or another project. Dolores was always very generous with her home, and we all loved to go there for meetings. I remember once we met at her home and had the biggest membership turnout that we had ever had. Vic afterwards said, everyone came because they wanted to see what kind of rugs we have. Sorry, Vic. That really wasn't the reason that we came. The rugs were lovely, but Dolores has always had a real knack at home decoration. And we would go out there to get to see her latest trick. I'm sure she was the first woman in Portland that had a bathroom wallpapered in roses. And I remember also when she bought yards and yards of sacking from the Chase Bag Company. 100 yards. And made them up into the most elegant looking draperies. I'm sure they had a run on sacking at the bag company. I think it was probably her work with the Alpha Chi's that first got Dolores interested in the handicapped, especially children. Our national philanthropy was cerebral palsy. And here in Portland, we work closely with both the Easter Seal Agency and the Rehabilitation Institute. Dolores later went on to be on the board of both the Easter Seal Agency and the Ladies Guild of the Rehabilitation Institute of Oregon. Another group that has been close to the heart of Dolores has been the Broadmoor Women's Club.
Dolores was the founder of this Washington County Women's Group, and she has watched it grow from a little neighborhood group to an organization with a membership limited to 175, but always with a waiting list of women wanting to join. I know she is proud of its annual benefits, which contribute to different philanthropy each year. One of the past beneficiaries has been the Tualatin Guidance Clinic. And again, Dolores' interest led her to gaining a position on the board of the Tualatin Guidance Clinic, work that couldn't help but bring her much satisfaction. In recounting Dolores' community interests, I would certainly be remiss if I failed to mention the Oregon Republican Women's Club. But then I guess I really don't need to tell you about that, do I? Dolores' interest in the art have led her into many activities. Foremost of these is probably her work with the Portland Art Museum. She is a past president of the Women's Association of the Art Museum. She has also lent her artistic talent to the Oregon Historical Society. Another place that the Atiyah influence has been strongly felt has been at St. Barnabas Episcopal Church. In fact, it is very much due to the efforts of Dolores and Vic that there even is a St. Barnabas Church. Vic and Dolores were on the initial committee organized to raise funds to build the church. Vic was chairman of the committee and Dolores worked right beside him, calling on people to get them to donate money to the church. And after the church was built, our artistic Dolores made those women's Christmas bazaars at St. Barnabas Church the most famous Christmas merchandise boutiques in the city of Portland. People stood in line to get in the door to buy the beautiful things the St. Barnabas women worked all year to produce. And I have heard Dolores was the driving force behind those bazaars. PTA, of course, and she was the president of the Raleigh Hills PTA. Remember Dolores when we met in Bend at the convention? Scouting, yes, she helped there also. The scouting was almost a family name. If I were to sum up my impressions of Dolores Atiyah in a very few words, I would say she's intelligent, she is artistically talented, she's dedicated, she's generous with her time and talent, she's extremely loyal, she's gracious, she's energetic, and above all, she is a lady. And I think this is why she was chosen for what must have been one of her most delightful activities, chaperone of the Rose Festival course, which she handled most charmingly. I know our princesses would agree with that. Princesses from the year Dolores was chaperone, Ann Talbot first and Sarah Elorriaga. And Ann has another name. And a darling baby. Andy Loretto and Sharon Elorriaga.
Mom Atiyah took 13 giggly princesses under her wing and saw them safely through selection to Rose Festival Week one long month and a half later. It was a lot of work for her, and I think she was secretly campaigning for each and every one of us.
Although we couldn't all win. She was conscientiously prepared for any possible emergency. She carried with her at all times a gigantic tote packed with bobby pins, safety pins, hairspray, lipstick, chapstick, spot remover, clothes brush, bandages, even spare nylons. I peeked in there one time and thought I saw portable clothesline in case anybody's clothes got wet, a 5-course freeze-dried meal in case anybody was hungry,
and even an inflatable life raft in case of a flood. Before we would go out on a Rose Festival event, she would go through a checklist like a stewardess's safety warnings. Although hers never genuinely wore out, she would demonstrate the application of an upside-down coat hanger for tired smiles. And she even gave us lessons in window washing parade waving. Seriously, Mama Tia, as all the girls affectionately called her, was more than just a confident chaperone of court activities. She won a special place in each of our hearts with her wisdom and warmth. Despite the hectic scheduling, Mama Tia remained poised and prepared. She always had a pleasant smile and intimate wooing for each girl. She was always ready to listen and had a special understanding and encouragement for each girl. She was a real inspiration to us all, and she made Rosaria 73 even more memorable.
Thank you, girls. It's not hard to see why they're princesses. Well, Dolores, aside from the fact that you're a supportive wife, you've had a genuine interest in politics from the time that Vic first ran for the legislature from Washington County in 1958. Gloria, this is Wally Carson.
Conservation crisis that all of us wives of all of the Republican senators in the whole state of Oregon went to teas and luncheons in one little car. Now that isn't as difficult as it sounds when you realize that there were only six of us. And speaking of conservation, I would like to show everybody what the well-dressed Oregonian is going to wear this year. A bag of genuine, recycled Atia carpeting. Thank you, Gloria. Well, Dolores, another milestone in your life occurred on November 6, 1970, when Tom married a charming young girl. Patty Atia and Megan Atia. Treat to have Megan here today, the darling little granddaughter. You all see her? We'd like to put her up on a chair for a minute so you can all really see her.
Well, there were so many people who we would like to include today, but time and distance didn't make it possible. I want you to know, though, Dolores, how many people sent messages and how many people really love you, and we all can understand why. Well, the ladies of the Beaverton West Slope Club are especially proud of you, since we feel you're one of our own.
I only want to say, Dolores is not just a member in name only. She is a true member because she comes to all of our functions and she's always there when we need her. And she is our number one lady.
Well, one last word from me and then I'm going to turn it over to Beth. We'll let you say something if you want, Dolores. But first I'm going to say, you and Vic have set a standard of excellence and integrity that's long been missing from the Oregon scene, and we are just so grateful that we're going to have both of you down in Salem. We're proud of you. We love you. God bless you both.
Dolores Atiyah Appreciation Day, November 15, 1978, for outstanding contributions to the Oregon Federation of Republican Women. And Dolores,
something to hang in the governor's mansion.
And now, and now we will let you talk.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you all for the work that you have done. There is absolutely no way that any Republican can win without help, and that is help from all of you and all of your Democrat friends. And you know, everyone who came up here today was a worker and an early worker for Vic through the years. And there, I don't know how you can thank friends enough, or even the people that you don't know who have worked out there. There's one person they didn't recognize today because they didn't know about it. When I was a young bride, I lived next to the governor's daughter-in-law, and she is here. Mary Lee Snell, stand up. Well, it was very exciting in those days to see the governor's car drive up and the uniform guard get out, and they were delivering the governor and Mrs. Snell to our neighbors at that time. And I think that's the first time we saw that happen. Now then, we do have a man in blue who appeared on our front porch on Friday morning. Let me tell you a little bit about this. I had just hopped out of the shower. You know what your hair is like and what you're like, and a little cotton duster in your tennies? When the doorbell rings, and there he is. This is the first time this dawned on me what actually was happening to us, because we had just gone through a very hard campaign. We had just celebrated a very exciting victory with all of you throughout the state. The phone had not stopped ringing, and I mean that, had not stopped ringing. Every time I would put it down, it would ring. So it was a constant thing all day long. This was Friday morning, and I thought I'd sneak in and wash my hair and get ready to go with Vic again when this happened. Friday afternoon, we had the young man in blue again with us. It's a very strange feeling when this actually takes place. But I know that as long as they'll let me sneak away, I will be at the Republican clubs with you. We hope that we can make you proud of us for the state of Oregon. We hope that you will feel free to call and to come down. And I'm hoping that our house, even though it is not a governor's mansion, I'm hoping that it will be ready for you in Salem when you come in February, and we'll all have tea.
Grandmother, the ice cream comes first. At this time, I would like to again thank the clubs that have helped with our program today and with the luncheon. And the decorations are beautiful. And I'd like to have you give these six clubs a hand for all of the work they've done for successful luncheon.